Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
And we're on.
And we're on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Liam, the daughter.
I'm Lori, I'm the mom.
Welcome to Witch Whispers.
Witch Whispers.
Hey, it's my turn.
It's your turn.
My turn. I feel like I haven't been here in a minute.
I know.
I don't know. I feel like that's probably not accurate.
Maybe physically you've been here, but mentally you're somewhere else.
You know what? Yes. Write that on my tombstone. Gravestone? I don't know.
Headstone.
Headstone. All of the above. Okay, I'm up.
Yeah.
And I am in a little bit of a horror
vibe.
Mood. I'm sorry to those of our listeners that are like afraid of horror. Yeah. Just stick with me for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, so we sprung forward today.
We did.
You know what? I have to say, fuck daylight savings time.
I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck.
I literally feel like a zombie. What's wrong with me?
I'm trying to figure out if it's when we came back from Seattle is when I first started really noticing it, or I'm just getting older.
I think
you said it's affecting you too.
It's really affecting. I think I too am getting older.
I'm like, I'm
aging. I am so tired.
I am aging.
Oh, fuck. Fuck this shit. But anyway,
yeah.
Spring is upon us.
Yes.
Okay. Ostara is almost here. Mm-hmm. And once this starts happening, okay, once spring comes along, I find myself wanting to watch full horror.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
I'm talking your talk. I'm right up your alley.
The Wicker Man. Is that what we're watching? 70 whatever?
Yeah, we're about to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to just tell you about this subgenre.
Ooh.
So I watched the documentary that you've been telling me to watch for like years now.
Like 2 years.
Okay. Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched, A History of Folk Horror. It's on Shudder. If you love a documentary, this thing was like...
I think it was
like 4 hours long. It was really good though.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Yeah, I really liked it because I like this subgenre, but I didn't know a lot about it. It's more your thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But if you're not a huge horror fan, like I said, don't get scared off yet, because after I watched the documentary, I kind of realized that our audience might like agree with you and might be really into this.
Yeah.
We've talked about some of the folk horror movies, but I feel like regardless of how you feel about horror, you might be into this if you like Uncle Bob's.
Yeah.
Especially the more like witchy, occulty
topic. There's like so much good mythology in like folk horror movies.
Exactly. It's folk horror.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get into it. So what is it?
What is it, Lee?
Okay, well, naturally, I picked a subgenre that is hard to define. It's like every article I opened was like, it's kind of impossible to define this. And I'm like, motherfucker.
See, just like yourself.
Just like myself,
you're hard to define.
I'm feeling complicated. Why'd you have to go make things? Okay.
No.
The definition is debated often, and everyone seems to have like their own definition.
Oh.
Okay. It has been described as something intuitive, like one of those you'll know it when you see it, but you can't really verbalize it.
Okay.
You don't know how to define it or explain it, but I'm going
to
see what I can do here.
Okay.
The formal definition, you Google folk horror definition. Here's what comes up.
Okay.
A subgenre of horror film and fiction that uses elements of folklore to invoke fear and foreboding. So this is why I thought we would like it here at Uncle Bob's, right? Okay. So this pulls from folklore and mythology, specifically tales tied to a history and culture.
Oh, I love it.
This could be an actual history,
but
sometimes folk horror films like make up their own
Their own
folklore.
History.
Yes. With this, folk horror taps into your basic instincts and fears, mm-hmm. the ones most likely put there during childhood. That gives me chills a little bit.
You know, what keeps coming to mind for me is Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
or
exactly.
Snow White with the...
Sure, you know, or the boogeyman. So it's fables, fairy tales, okay. Communal stories, legends, cautionary tales, superstitions, etc. Mm-hmm. Okay, typically stories of magic, mystery, and danger. Used to teach or scare.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the Brothers Grimm.
Yes.
They're teaching us.
They are teaching us. All I can think of is Heath Ledger and Matt Damon. Who put those two together for that movie? We talked about it, but the I don't Grimm think brothers. We talked about it enough. What an interesting combo.
Yeah, that movie was crap.
It was pretty bad. Okay, so this subgenre uses elements and themes from these stories to play on your like deepest... darkest fears.
Fears.
The ones way deep down in there.
Yeah.
But some say this definition that I just gave you is too general.
Oh.
Okay, because it doesn't cover all of what folk horror can be.
Facets. Okay.
So filmmaker / writer Adam Scoville, who has become somewhat of like an authority on this subgenre. This is a very serious subgenre.
They're teaching this in
college. Is what I found. We got a lot of smarties. Mm-hmm. Okay. Adam came up with something called the folk horror chain, seemingly to spot folk horror in film, but using literature as like a guide.
Okay.
Okay. So this chain links together narrative, aesthetic, and thematic aspects that when put together form folk horror.
Wow.
Isn't this kind of interesting?
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
It is
but
interesting.
When I stumbled upon this earlier, I was like, okay, wait a minute. This is making sense to me.
Yeah.
Because this is a hard one to define. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're really helping us out here.
Yeah.
So if a film has a number of these links, then it counts. So it doesn't necessarily have to have every link.
Oh.
But
a majority.
I've read that if it has every single link, that's the one where you're like, oh, I'm definitely watching a folk horror. Like, you know that you're watching it. If it only has a few, it might be harder to kind of spot.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to know what the chain is?
I sure do.
And if you don't love me now. Wait, did I kind of like, I Rick Astley'd you. Just a little bit. You will never break Rick the chain. Astley.
I got ricked.
Yes. You got Fleetwood Mac'd. You got Mac'd.
I got Mac attacked.
You got Mac'd. Okay. Here's the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Rural landscape or environment. Okay. So
pastoral setting.
Pastoral. Yes. Raised in the country. It sets a strong aesthetic and theme. It's very naturey and it naturally isolates the community or characters within it.
Fear nature, kids.
Which leads us to our next chain, which is isolation.
Ew.
So located outside of society, away from the modern, both physically and sociologically. Mm-hmm. And then it dives into like the effect that this environment has on people and their psyche.
Yeah.
And it usually leads to our next chain, which is skewed moral and belief systems.
Ew.
So group consciousness, very culty. We've got some cult-like action going on. And this is usually shown with religion, paganism, occultism, etc.
Yeah.
That leads us to our last chain. Do you see me getting like a little serious?
I do.
It's because this is serious talk.
This is serious shit right now.
Even though I just Rick Astley'd you a minute ago.
I just Mac attacked you.
Okay, our last chain. Manifestation of these belief systems.
Ooh.
So this is, I think he called it the big happening.
Okay.
It's usually like a violent showdown of some kind. And it usually involves something supernatural.
Yeah.
But not always. So this could be like summoning ghosts and demons. Demons, sacrifices, possessions, death,
ritual,
blood. Yeah, sure.
I'm telling you, Wicker Man is what comes right to my head.
It's one of the pillars.
It's got all of them. I think that's got them all.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Okay. So the term itself, folk horror, seemed to pop up in the early 70s and again in the early 2000s. What a time to be alive.
What a time.
Those early 2000s. In magazine articles and like film reviews, it's a very complicated, everyone's trying to claim that they came up with this term from what I could tell.
Folk horror?
Folk, yeah, the term folk horror.
Okay.
But it really seemed to catch attention in 2010 when it was mentioned in a BBC documentary called A History of Horror. Ooh. And it was used to separate the more gothic Hammer type films, okay, which you've talked mm-hmm. about, from like a new wave of yeah. film that started around the 70s.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so around this time, I think, is when the term got linked to three movies.
Three.
Three Only movies. Three. These were like, again, the pillars. Yes. Okay. So these three movies are considered to be the unholy trinity. Okay, cute. They're the pioneers of folk horror films.
Okay, I love it.
All of which follow the folk horror chain.
The chain.
Okay.
Link by link and yard by yard.
And these are good examples because they follow it in different ways. So okay. it shows you that they can, this chain can look very different. Mm. Okay, so we have Michael Reeves' Witchfinder General from 1968, starring...
Yeah. Vincent Price.
Vincent Price. Have you talked about this before?
We mentioned it in the last Witch Hunter. Oh, the last
Witch Hunter. Yeah. So this is a true story about a man named Matthew Hopkins who yeah. claimed he could detect witches
to burn them,
of course.
That was the lesson for that movie.
Exactly.
What a piece of shit he was. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Roast him, Lore.
Yeah, I did.
Then we have Pierce Haggard's Blood on Satan's Claw from 1971. This one looks very interesting to me. I have never seen this.
I've not heard of this one.
Really cool graphics.
Okay.
After a farmer unearths a mysterious skull, the youth of a rural village become possessed.
Possessed.
It sounded like I was saying possessed.
Getting into your rural lingo.
Possessly possessed.
That sounds like Village of the Damned.
By a demonic presence.
Oh, okay.
You know, similar vibe.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, as Laura has mentioned already a few times, we have Robin Hardy's The Wicker Man from 1973. You have talked about this.
Love it.
We love it.
Love this aesthetic.
Police Officer Neil Howie.
Officer Howie.
I remember roasting the shit out of his name in that episode.
Calling Officer Howie.
Neil Howie is sent to isolated Summer Isle, Scotland mm-hmm. in search of a missing girl, but he finds a pagan cult instead. Classic.
Yeah.
What a classic. So if you haven't caught on, these are all British films that I just mentioned.
I associate folk horror with British
Many
films,
people
which is
do. So that brings me to my next point. Where this genre originated is also a topic of debate.
Ooh.
Of course. I feel like that's pretty typical. Everyone wants to claim everything, right? So some say that Britain in this little period of time, like between 68 and 73, is like really where this started. That's what most people associate mm-hmm. with folk horror. And my research mainly led me there.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But some say that Asian horror has been doing this literally forever because mythology is such a big thing.
Yeah.
And some say a movie from Sweden in the early 1920s. Like had all of the makings. No. So, you know, I guess it will depend on your specific definition of folk horror. Remember I said that's why it gets complicated. But regardless of when or where it started, everyone seems to agree that it is one of the oldest and most popular subgenres of horror.
I love that.
And it has seen a massive resurgence in the last few years, most notably with Robert Eggers and Ari Aster. So I feel like even the fans of ours that are like, I don't like horror, they're into these movies that I'm about to mention because they're so like witchy.
Right.
So our audience like is really drawn to this. So Robert Eggers did The Witch from 2015 and The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse.
From 2019, both of which you covered.
I did,
We are not like, this is interesting because I'm not really a fan of either of those movies.
Correct.
But I feel like I need to go back
and look at them
and
with
really
a
look at them
eye.
With a fresh perspective because Robert is known for weaving history and folklore into his films like on another level, like with great attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
He's really pulling from folklore. So an example would be the hair transformation in The Witch that comes from Western European folklore.
Yeah.
He mentions flying ointment, Book of Shadows, the goat. Like he's really
a lot of things that we talk about.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I need to try again. Maybe I roasted it too harshly.
Did you?
I'm going to try again.
Okay.
He also did The Northmen in 2022, which is heavily inspired by Norse mythology.
Ooh,
I thought you might be into
that.
And then we have Ari Aster, who I really like. Mm-hmm. Like, I lean more towards Ari Aster.
I like Ari Aster stuff, too.
Ari Aster.
Ari Aster.
Is it Ari Aster or Ari Aster? I don't know. I'll never know.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Aster. I like it. Ari Aster did Midsommar in 2019 and Hereditary from 2018, which I think is one of the best horror movies of all time. Terrifying. I love Hereditary specifically. He is also known for meticulous attention to detail.
Yes.
Maybe they're both Virgos. I don't know. We got to look into it. Very atmospheric films, very visually stunning. I love his visuals. Very immersive. I would say like you feel like you are in that fucking movie, but also very graphic and unsettling.
Very unsettling. So not like far off.
It's different. And it's just a different kind of unsettling. That's what you'll know it when you see it. An example would be the sacrifice scene in Midsommar.
That's exactly what came to my mind.
Because you're like,
So I'm thinking like, people probably did that back in the day. It probably wasn't that odd. You know
Know. That's kind of the, that's kind of the question, I guess.
Leap to your death.
Okay, Laura, we're going to spoil it for everyone. If you haven't, go watch Midsommar. I think you'd like it. We should talk about that again, I feel like. Do you want to do that for a Trash Can Thursday?
Maybe.
Put it on the list.
The colors in that movie are astonishing.
It's one of the most visually stunning movies of all time. Okay, so some other common elements that I picked up on along my research journey of folklore films that may help you spot them if you're still a little unsure. Okay, and this is my opinion. This isn't law.
Right.
Okay, so again, very atmospheric. Very. So dark and moody, a lot of like dark woodsy scenes.
Yes.
Lights and candles like flickering.
Yeah.
Foggy.
Castles and stone houses.
Ooh, okay,
and,
yes.
You know, pebbled streets.
Wood.
Ooh. Wood.
Sap.
A lot of sap.
A little full. A lot of sap. Yeah, I really think of like a foggy night in the woods.
Yeah.
Yes. Eerie, unknown, and like quiet. Just a little more quiet than other, you know, ambiances. Yeah. And it's unsettling. That's what I, what else I noticed. It has you feeling anxious without relying on like gore, jump scares, exploitation.
Right.
That can still be used. Like we said, some of it is very graphic, but it's not the focus. That's not necessarily what's scaring you. And the ending typically leaves you feeling the same. Like these aren't movies that are wrapped up like real pretty.
And I think it's because it's things that you have or can experience on any given moment.
Yeah, like I said, it's tapping into that like primal fear, that fear that was put in you when you were little.
Sure.
So like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It really does give my body like chills watching these movies. It's very sensory, I would say.
Yeah.
The next thing is occult witches and witchcraft.
Of course.
Yes, which I think is, again, why our audience is drawn towards it.
There's an occultist behind every door.
Yeah, exactly. So it's usually a big part of the plot. A lot of rituals, like you said, pagan festivals, ancient texts, spells and chants. I think that's why when spring starts rolling around, I want to watch this because even though most of them are like Beltane or Samhain, I still feel like there's a lot of like Ostara imagery.
Yeah, Midsommar. Yeah, those early.
I feel like the Wicker Man had a lot of like rabbits and.
Oh my gosh. Yes,
yeah, I don't know. So I start getting in the vibe.
I think the Wicker Man was trying to encompass every single Sabbath.
Everything pagan. Just
movie.
Throw it in
Toss
here.
Toss it in there.
Hey, maybe that's why it's the Mac Daddy. A lot of films pull heavily from European paganism and witchcraft. Again, that's why you associate it there. And it makes sense considering the rise of all things occult in the late 60s and 70s.
Sure.
We've talked about that many times. With that said, feminine power is another thing, another theme.
Love it.
It's sometimes a big part of the plot and it goes along with the witch figure. Goddesses.
Sure. Coming into their own.
Yes. One of the quotes, it was said in, I think, the documentary, the old religion went underground when Christianity came along, but with folklore, it reappears.
I love that.
I love it. And then when you bring in like the attention to detail and actual
colors and and all of the mythology that they
pull
from.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like you're bringing in actual, I mean, it makes for a really
good story,
good experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm personally, I don't mind having that sensory
no, I
feel
like it.
Or spook, you know,
yeah.
like spook quotient, but I don't like, I'm not the big slasher jump scare.
No, you're not.
You know, so I like this. It's like subtle.
It's layered. Mm-hmm. It's very layered. Yeah. Supernatural forces is also a big theme.
Of course.
So right up our alley. Again, not always present, but often. And if it is, it's not the main cause of the fear again, but someone is usually tapping into it for personal gain. Sure. So they're trying to summon ancient gods and goddesses, the devil.
Yeah.
They want a bountiful harvest.
It's always about that damn
call
harvest.
In the gods. I need my grains. Okay. Hey, that leads me to my next point.
Yeah.
The environment.
Oh yeah.
And not like I was talking about earlier. This is more so like concerns over the land itself.
Right.
So like nature, Mother Earth, again, their harvest.
Yeah.
Especially in the late 60s and early 70s. Think the hippie movement in the US and Britain, that was there. Yeah. So this reflected in like actual anxieties at the time.
Yeah.
Like they wanted to return to more of a...
to the motherland.
To the older ways. Yes. Take me back to the land.
Yeah. Save the land. Preserve it.
Exactly.
Respect it.
Yeah. So again, it's linking up with what was like actually going on in the world. You don't say.
You don't say.
You don't say. My last point is tension. Mm-hmm. So it's like a very tense vibe. Yeah. These movies, typically there's tension between the past in the present.
Mm-hmm.
So like tradition versus modern.
Right.
So it doesn't always actually have to take place in the past, which is, I think, a common misconception.
Right.
But something from the past will make itself known usually as a threat.
Yes.
So old belief systems, traditions, religions. Something's buried. Again, they're unearthing it. The land.
Right.
Okay. You get the vibe.
Yeah.
And
ancestral
this,
land.
Yes, exactly. And this can be seen as a critique of modern life or as a return of the repressed. So there you go. I guess that's up to you.
Hey, that's a good sentence. I like that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on with these films.
I know. There's a lot to think about. I really get you thinking.
I appreciated that documentary. It made me realize that I liked it a lot more than I thought I did. So speaking of other examples of folk horror films, I focus mainly on movies that I haven't mentioned already.
Okay.
I named a lot of the big ones.
Yeah.
Okay. We can't forget The Wicker Man from 2006.
Nicolas Cage.
With Nicolas Cage.
Come on in.
I covered this one like 2 or 3 years ago. It's the one with the bees.
And you prefer this one over the OG.
I love the original. Again, those visuals, there's like
stunning.
Nothing matches it. It's so great. But I feel like this is an underrated Nicolas Cage movie. Like I kind of liked it.
Check it out.
Yeah. And again, with the visuals, like I said, a lot of like spring and Beltane kind of energy. And it really like, it puts me in the vibe of the season.
Yeah.
Come on, Nicolas Cage.
Come on.
I think I'm becoming a fan.
Are you?
Say this every time we bring it up. It's official.
Every time we talk about one of his movies.
Yeah. Another one we have talked about, Cry of the Banshee from 1970.
Ooh, yeah.
Makes its way in here.
No banshee appears in the making of this film.
No, you were really upset about that. The Ritual from 2017.
Yes.
Again, we've talked about
that.
That is an underrated movie.
That is a good one.
I think it's a Netflix original. Holy shit, was that movie scary.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this one, Hacksaw, from 1922.
Yeah. That's on my list.
Apostle from 2018. That looked cool.
Yeah.
The Blair Witch Project
from
1999.
Absolutely.
It would be considered folk horror. Hagazusa.
Say that 5 times.
Hagazusa.
Wait, no, don't.
I'll try.
I don't know what it is.
I'll try. Oh my gosh.
You'll be summoning something.
Don't say that. That's from 2017. Did I say that? A lot of these that I haven't seen, I was like, ooh, we could talk about this on the show. Ooh, this looks really cool. Speaking of Lamb, I think it's an A24.
Okay.
And that's from 2021. Looks really good.
I've not seen that.
A Field in England from 2013.
Ooh.
Children of the Corn from 1984.
Wow.
And if you follow the chain, it kind of makes
sense.
There's
a lot of them.
The Wailing from 2016. I think that's a big one.
Have I seen that?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Men from 2022 and Pie Wacket from 2017, which weirdly me and Jake just watched before I even decided to do this. Again, I must just be in the vibe. That has a lot of witchy stuff in it.
I know.
So I would go watch that. I might cover it for the show. I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. These last few are on the like debated list. Like some people are like, no, they fit. And some people are like, maybe they only have a few links.
A few of the, of the links in the chain.
La Llorona. I'm not sure if I said that right, from 2019. Yeah. You liked that one.
Yes. That had, what's his name in
Danny
it?
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo.
We have Pumpkinhead from 1988. That's a good one. Yeah. Sleepy Hollow. Any version, but the 1999 one kept coming up. Mm-hmm. Some say the Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974 would fit.
Really?
Because of the isolation, the belief, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay.
And The Village, 2004. Dude. Again, yeah. Kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
So you be the judge.
Did you cover that or I covered it? One of us
you
did.
You covered it.
Yeah. Interesting movie.
You liked it. And yeah. I like your lesson
I
was
liked
the
it
color
on the
red.
Rewatch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a divisive one. People never know how to feel about
when
that
movie. When I watched
movie.
It the first time back in the day when it first came out, I was like, oh, that ending. I was like so pissed off. But then.
That's normally what happens with M. Night movies.
A rewatch and a revisit. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. All right. I like it.
Yeah. His movies take me a few times. Yeah. But then I'm normally like, oh, he's a fucking genius.
I'm on board.
By the end of it.
Yeah.
But that's folk horror. In a nutshell, again, people take this topic very seriously. But I'm just trying to give you, you know, just the tip.
Just the tip.
And maybe entice you to check some of these out. Because I really do think you would like them.
Yeah.
Even though they're dark, you know.
Yeah. And I hate to keep coming back to the original Wicker Man. But gosh, it's the perfect time for it.
If you take anything away from this, yeah.
Check out
at least watch that one and Hereditary. There you go.
Yes.
At least check those out. I hope you enjoyed it.
Love it.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you and good night.
That's all I have for you.
We'll
today.
Catch you Thursday for our full length episode.
Oh yeah.
TTFN.
Cut, print, check the gate, move, we gone.